I was pleased to the 17th chapter of the book of Proverbs. We want to read several portions from the book of Proverbs this evening, none of them very long, but we want to gain just a bit of a perspective. Proverbs chapter 17, and we will begin with reading verse 8 and then read several selected portions thereafter. And then we will go back to one other portion in Deuteronomy, chapter 16. But first, let's stand together as we read from the 17th chapter of the book of Proverbs. 17th chapter and the 8th verse. A bribe is a charm in the sight of its owner. Wherever he turns, he prospers. Going over to 18 and verse 16. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. Chapter 19 and verse 6 and 7. Many will entreat the favor of a generous man, and every man is a friend to him who gives gifts. All the brothers of a poor man hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursues them with words, but they are gone. 21 and verse 14. A gift in secret subdues anger, and a bribe in the bosom strong wrath. And then going back to the 17th chapter and the 23rd verse, same chapter in which we read our first selection from Proverbs, same chapter. A wicked man receives a bribe from the bosom to pervert the ways of justice. And then go back with me, if you will, please, to the 16th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, verses 18 through 20. Deuteronomy chapter 16, and beginning with verse 18. You shall appoint for yourself judges and officers in all your towns which the Lord your God is giving you, according to your tribes, and they shall judge the people with righteous judgment. You shall not distort justice, you shall not be partial, and you shall not take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and perverts the words of the righteous. Justice and only justice you shall pursue, that you may live and possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you. May God add his blessing to the reading and understanding of his holy word. Please be seated. I want you to take a very special care this evening as you hear, because there is a great deal of divided opinion among men of godly character and scholarship over some of the issues that we will be talking over this evening. And I would say to you that in this matter, this is something of which you must have a good and a settled conscience. But as you'll notice, as we read through those portions in the book of Proverbs concerning the giving of gifts and of bribery, that they seem to be giving mixed signals. And the question that is before us is this: is bribery always unlawful and forbidden? Is it always legitimate? Or is it sometimes unlawful and sometimes legitimate? And it's difficult to look at these things because, on the one hand, we have very settled opinions. But on the other hand, we need to look at Scripture and come to understand what it is saying. I remember a number of years ago having something of a debate with a young man. Interestingly enough, we were at opposite ends of a ping pong table at the time. It seemed to be a lot of good debate going on over the ping pong table back in those days. I learned to play ping pong when I was, or table tennis is the more erudite to say, it's ping pong to me. But I learned to play that in seminary. After all, no one could graduate from seminary without being able to beat everybody in his congregation in a game of ping pong. That seemed to be the qualification. So we spent a great deal of time, and there was a lot of debate. But this one occurred after I'd been in the ministry, and it was over this very issue. I took the stand that bribery was always illegitimate, and he took a different view. But the confusion that we see is not with Scripture, I don't believe, but it is the failure to conform our minds to the revelation of God. And so I want to look at this issue, and I think it applies to other things as well. And so as we begin, I want you to understand, first of all, and I would have you to understand, that bribery must be understood as the attempt to replace one standard of judgment with another. It is always that. Bribery is an attempt, either on the part of the one who is giving the bribe or the one who is receiving the bribe, to exchange one standard of judgment for another. And I would say to you that in that definition, we must understand that in a godly society where decisions and judgments are rendered on the basis of God's law, bribery is always forbidden. You must understand that. That where justice is being meted out, if there was ever any attempt on the part of one receiving or taking a bribe, and we'll get to this a little bit later on, if the Word of God, if God's standard of justice is the standard, then any attempt to replace that standard of justice with any other is forbidden. But just taken in the abstract, bribery is always the attempt to replace one standard of judgment with another. So therefore, as an understanding of that, you cannot find, and that should be the E there in your outline, should be a D, forgive me, it didn't show up in my spell checker and I didn't read it very carefully. You cannot find the definition for bribery in the giving of a gift alone. And to show you this, I want you to go back to 2 Chronicles, to two different passages. 2 Chronicles 19, first of all. 2 Chronicles chapter 19 and verse 7. And there we read, well, let's begin with verse 8. And in Jerusalem also Jehoshaphat appointed some of the Levites and priests and some of the heads of the fathers' households of Israel for the judgment of the Lord and to judge disputes among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And then he charged them, saying, "Thus you shall do in the fear of the Lord faithfully and wholeheartedly." Oh boy, that's not the one that I want. 19:7. Did I get this thing wrong? Probably. Let me see something else. It's going to be terrible if I get this this totally wrong. Well, that is going to be wrong. That is an awful thing to have that written down. Let me check something else out then. See if I got this right. I thought certain that I had checked that carefully. Let me see if I can get this. Go back one. Well, I am not going to find it. Let me see if I can get the cross reference from chapter 32 of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 23. And many were bringing gifts to the Lord at Jerusalem and choice presents to Hezekiah, king of Judah, so that he was exalted in the sight of all nations thereafter. And the portion that I was looking to earlier on in this portion had to do with the prohibition of these from taking gifts. And what I wanted to do was to set up the idea here is that, as we saw in the more important verse there, is that of 32:23, where you can see that there were those who were bringing gifts to the Lord and gifts to Hezekiah. And the point is that there was nothing wrong with bringing those gifts either to the Lord or to Hezekiah, even though the same book of the Bible, and I'll have to look it up for you some other time, even though the same book of the Bible says you shall not give a gift in justice. And so therefore, while you cannot find, it's like a child's gift of love to his father, who happens to be a judge, is not necessarily a bribe, right? If your father's celebrating something and his child brings him a gift, the giving of a gift is not a bribe. Now, however, the judge father arrives at home and the child has done something for which he's going to be punished and he seeks to alleviate the standard of justice, that might be something else. But you do find the definition of bribery in the intent to alter or ensure the decision of one in authority. And so therefore, a bribe removes the ground of decision from the rule of law and establishes the ground of a decision in personal advantage. That is what bribery is about, to exchange one standard of judgment for another, removing it from the rule of law generally and placing it in personal advantage, so that one who is making a decision does so not on the basis of principle, except for the principle of personal advantage. Now you can see some of this. For instance, an example of it would be for the witnesses against Christ who were paid to bear false witness against him. We can also see it with regard to the chief priests as they went to those soldiers who were officers of the court who were set there to judge the to make certain that nobody stole the body of Christ at the end of the resurrection. And of course the priest went to them and said, now look, if anybody shows up, say that you fell asleep on the job and the disciples came and stole away the body at night. And by the way, that rumor did spread. And then the chief priest said, and by the way, don't worry about a thing, because we'll take care of it with your superior so you don't get in trouble for saying that you fell asleep. And I'm just assuming that the priests probably bribed the Roman authorities in order to protect the soldiers. So there was bribery that was going on there in order to establish, to remove the testimony from the realm of truth and of principle to personal advantage. That's what bribery is. It's not just the giving of a gift, but it is the giving of gift or receiving of a gift to replace one standard of judgment with another. Now, having said that, let's go on and let's point out that Scripture says that Scripture tells us that God forbids you to exchange the rule of His law for personal advantage. That is what is forbidden in Scripture. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 18 through 20, that you must judge just judgments. Justice and only justice shall you pursue. You are not to elevate the rights of the poor above the rich, nor of the rich above the poor. Class has nothing to do with it. Personal status has nothing to do with it. Wealth has nothing to do with it. You're to judge righteous judgments. And in basically, the consistent testimony of Scripture is that it is wrong to accept a bribe for the perversion of justice. In fact, it's wrong to accept a bribe, period. It is always wrong to accept a bribe. And the reason for that is several fold. First of all in authority must make decisions on the basis of God's law. That's what God requires. God requires you to make your decisions in any position of authority that you have, whether it's a personal decision or one for your family or whatever it might be. God always requires you to make decisions on the basis of His law, for that is justice. Justice is to be the rule regardless of what it may cost you as an individual. You are required to make decisions on the basis of God's revealed will. So that being the case, to accept a bribe is not necessary. You will make a decision regardless of personal advantage. Secondly, the consideration of personal advantage corrupts justice. Turn back to Exodus chapter 23, because here is again another portion that has to do with this. It is a parallel passage in a sense to what we read in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy was the fuller expression of it. But Exodus chapter 23 and verse 8 is very explicit. You shall not take a bribe. Why? For a bribe blinds the clear-sighted and subverts the cause of the just. There's to be no consideration of accepting a bribe for those who accept God's law as the standard of judgment and of justice. Because the power, and this ought also to remind you and also ought to warn you of the power of personal advantage, because this passage in Exodus 23 says that it clouds or corrupts even those who have a clear sight of what is right and wrong, and corrupts justice. You ought to have a great hatred of receiving a bribe. Now, there are a lot of ways in which that takes place. You know, one of the things which was terribly frustrating to many, and still is the perversion of justice in our own in our own country. Not maybe so much by the idea of giving and taking of money, although certainly if you go to Capitol Hill, you'll find there's a great deal that is done on Capitol Hill by the giving and taking of money, that law does not rule in our capital. But I just think back to the great tragedy of all of the trials that were involved in the Rodney King episode. And what was really the motivating factor there was not so much justice as what would be the outcome of the decision. And it was a terrible thing. And you can see why bribery is hated, because bribery destroys a social order, all forms of it. And that's why the scriptures are explicit in saying that it is always wrong to change the rule, to accept a bribe for personal advantage. Thirdly, accepting a bribe opens the door for the accusation of injustice. Assume that you are in a position of authority and you make your decision on the basis of principle, and yet figured, well, it won't hurt anything to make a little bit of money on the side. I'm not going to change my view. They want me to make this decision, and that's the decision I'm going to make because it's right, but, you know, why not? Well, what happens is that that acceptance of the bribe opens the door for an accusation of injustice, which you certainly don't want. Fourthly, accepting a bribe destroys a godly social order. As we pointed out, what happens when this becomes the norm, then all legitimate exercise and all justice ceases to prevail in the land. Everything becomes arbitrary. And of course, you and I may not be aware, but there are many nations, in fact, a large number of nations, which function on the basis of the... You can't do anything without bribing someone. You just can't, because the whole social order is based on the giving and taking of bribes. I found this quote, and I thought it was very good. I believe it was R.J. Rushdoony who wrote this, and he said, "Every corrupt official of state, and especially the judge, is guilty of using his office to destroy the foundations of social order, to kill godly society, and to replace it with the society of polite and legal thieves and murderers." Polite, legal thieves and murderers. That's what happens when the taking of bribes is tolerated. It is interesting that according to a government report that was put out in 1969, the Cosa Nostra alone spent over $2 billion a year in bribery. Think of that, $2 billion a year. Now somebody's taking it. Somebody's taking it, and that's just the Cosa Nostra. Fifthly, accepting a bribe is universally condemned and brings God's judgment. And for this, I want to look, I hope I've got these written down properly, Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 23. We read of the taking of bribes. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 23 says this. Let's go back a little bit. He's condemning the leaders of the nation of Judah. And he says in verse 23, "Who justify the wicked for a bribe, and take away the rights of the ones who are in the right." Woe to those who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away the rights of the ones who are in the right. Over in Micah chapter 3, we see a similar thing. And we could go to many portions throughout the Old Testament in particular. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Micah chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. "Her leaders pronounce judgment for a bribe, her priests instruct for a price, and her prophets divine for money. Yet they lean on the Lord, saying, 'Is not the Lord in our midst? Calamity will not come upon us.' Therefore, on account of you, Zion will be plowed as a field, Jerusalem will become a heap of ruins, and the mountains of the temple would become high places of a forest. All these people were doing what they were doing for a bribe, and God says, you aren't going to get away with it. I'm going to destroy such a wicked nation and a wicked people. And chapter 7 in verse 3 of that same book, concerning evil, both hands do it well. The prince asks, also the judge, for a bribe, and a great man speaks the desire of his soul, so they weave it together. You see what's happening there? Got two willing partners, guy who's receiving a bribe, and you have the guy who's giving a bribe, and they work it all out together, and God brings his judgment upon them. So accepting a bribe is universally condemned and brings God's judgment. And again, I would point out to you how much of our own system now operates on the basis of personal advantage rather than law. Maybe it's not direct. Maybe it's just being reelected. But how many people make decisions on the basis of principle as opposed to personal advantage? And the reason our politicians don't make those decisions is because our population doesn't make those decisions. Everybody makes their decisions for personal advantage rather than principle. But having said that, having said that God forbids you to exchange the rule of law for personal advantage, I want to go on and point out to you, and this is where it gets a bit controversial, so take it and you study the scriptures and you find out for yourself, and that is that God does not absolutely forbid offering a bribe. It's always wrong to accept a bribe. But the scriptures and the portion that we read, for instance, there in our opening verse in the book of Proverbs, and the 17th chapter, let me get back to it and I'll have to read it for you again. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 8. A bribe is a charm in the sight of its owner. Wherever he turns, he prospers. He says, a gift brings men into the presence of the mighty. You see, there's not just condemnation. Evidently, he says there's some advantage to it also, that God does not absolutely forbid offering a bribe. And one of the things that I want to point out to you here is that the scriptures do not have the modern notion of the inherent goodness of man and the benevolence of an idolatrous state. The scriptures never present to us that the state is going to be really good guys who have your best interests at heart. The scriptures do not assume that. In fact, they often assume the very opposite. They do not have as their view the basic premise that man is basically good and has a wonderful plan for your life. It assumes something quite the opposite. And so, therefore, the scriptures give us direction not only for functioning in an ideal situation, but they also give us guidance for functioning in a lawless situation. And that is why I suggest to you that while it is always improper and unlawful to seek to exchange the rule of God's law for any other rule, it is not always unlawful to seek to exchange the rule of an idolatrous self-interest for the principle of justice. Do you understand what I'm saying? That bribery, properly used, although it is always dangerous because we then set ourselves up as arbiters to a certain degree, that bribery is not absolutely forbidden. And I want to point this out to you again through the scriptures. First of all, what we've already pointed out to you, the Bible recognizes the reality of ungodly civil government. We live in a fallen world. And God gives us directions. God gives directions to godly men who live in ungodly cultures. Secondly, the Bible recognizes the legitimacy and necessity of resistance to unlawful demands by ungodly nations. And that is nothing else or ungodly officials. And that is nothing else than to recognize that law is not neutral. Law is inherently religious. And so what we have is we have, for instance, Daniel. An edict is passed that no one can pray to any other without penalty of death. Daniel understands that law is an ungodly law, and it must be opposed, and it must be resisted. And so he does so and is preserved. The three Hebrew children recognize that it is unlawful for the state to require them to bow down and to worship the sovereignty of the civil magistrate. And so when all the instruments struck up and the idol was lifted up, or when they saw the idol and they heard the things, they refused on principle to bow down. They would not exchange the rule of the law of their God for the rule of the civil leader of Babylon. The Bible recognized the legitimacy and necessity of resistance to the unlawful demands of ungodly magistrates. We have the same thing in the New Testament, where the disciples are commanded by those in the authority of Jerusalem, their civil and religious leaders. They were forbidden to preach the gospel. And they said, "We'll do a lot of things, but we will not obey you in this matter, for we must obey God rather than men." And we must understand this principle, that if God requires men to submit, if God requires men to submit to all human law, then the citizens of Hitler's Germany were right, and the soldiers of Hitler's Germany were proper and obedient to God in the atrocities which they carried out in obedience to the dictates of the civil magistrate. Nobody that I know of believes that to be the case. But if that is the case, then the lesser ought also to be understood as well. There are going to be times in the future, I believe, in which it is going to be necessary for people to do those things which are not lawful. I'll give you an illustration. Presently, or I don't know if presently, but a few years ago, if an individual, a believer living in the country of Italy, conscientiously paid all of his taxes that were levied upon him, he would have paid more than 100% of his income. You can't do that. You can't survive by paying more than 100% of your income. What were they assuming? They had destroyed their civil government by ungodly taxation, and so what they did was they just expected people to cheat, and they did. And you must understand that in an ungodly society, we are often brought to that kind of a situation where we must disobey the civil government because the civil government's law is not lawful according to God. The time may come where it is necessary for believers to buy and sell in black markets. The only thing that is ungodly about a black market is the civil government that places such restrictions on free trade that a black market is necessary to do commerce. Free trade is not unlawful in God's book. It is only an ungodly civil government that so restricts free trade that a black market becomes illegal, that free trade becomes illegal, that we have the difficulties. So the sin is not in buying and selling. The sin lies in the restriction of trade. So the Bible recognized the legitimacy and necessity of resistance to unlawful demands of ungodly nations. And therefore, thirdly, the Bible recognizes the validity of using bribes to achieve true justice. And that is the key, to achieve biblical justice. If a nation is going to be governed by personal preference, use that personal preference for the pursuit of justice. Now, there are several things that I want to say about this particular matter. I want you to see what a bribe may do. Again, we've looked at this already in that we've read the verses. Verse 16, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. It's Proverbs 18:16. Therefore, a bribe may promote justice by giving you a hearing that you never would have had otherwise. In many nations, you may rot in a prison and never even have a trial. A bribe may give you a hearing that you would not have had otherwise. We have an example of that in the book of Judges, where the judge Ehud brings a gift to Eglon and, of course, uses that then to liberate Israel from the dominion of that cruel tyrant by assassinating him on the spot. But his gift made room for him before great men. I'm not suggesting that you use that to go in and assassinate anybody, by the way. I would not have you to do that. You are not a civil magistrate. But a bribe may promote justice by giving you a hearing. And we have examples of that in ungodly nations where people are given a hearing because they are able to use that system. In Proverbs chapter 21:14, we see that a bribe may dissolve unjust hostility. Proverbs 21:14, a gift in secret subdues anger, and a bribe in the bosom strong wrath. You may be coming up before somebody who hates your guts. Sorry to use that vernacular. Somebody who hates you intensely, that's better. Just for, we had a case of that in several places. And here it tells us, and it does not seem to speak disparagingly of it, it says, a gift in secret subdues anger, and a bribe in the bosom strong wrath. If you can do away with the personal hostility, you may then be able to have a just hearing. But also, you must understand that a bribe also may bring about a just verdict. In other words, a verdict that is in accordance with God's law. And for this, and I didn't write down the reference, I believe it's in the book of Luke, but you'll recall that the Lord was teaching on prayer, and he was talking about the importunate widow. And he was pointing out that she had a just cause. And she kept on coming back to this judge and says, you decide for me, I'm a widow, it's my property, I need it. And he didn't fear man, and he didn't fear God, and he didn't care about anything. And she just kept right on bothering him and bothering him. And finally he says, she's driving me crazy. I'm going to make the decision. And he did. It was a just decision. Now, you need to understand that, in a sense, that was a form of bribery. What she was doing was, judge, I'll give you some personal peace if you'll just decide on the basis of God's word. Just decide on the basis of justice. And he did. And the Lord uses that as an example. Now, having said all that, I want to point out to you here that that does not mean that we ought to just go off and say, oh, well, this is just a great way to get our way, because it isn't. Because I think that there are several things that you need to understand. And that is, you need to take heed to the qualifications God places on offering a bribe. You just don't go out and use it willy-nilly, if you use it at all. First of all, you must understand, and you must really and truly live in a lawless or corrupt society. You must live in a society where men call good evil and evil good. Those are the circumstances. You would never and must never use bribery. You must remember what we said. You never take a bribe, ever. But you must never offer a bribe where there is a measure of honesty and true justice. Secondly, you must have a righteous cause. Your ends must not be purely selfish. You cannot use bribery to achieve selfish ends, because that is gaining a personal advantage by an unlawful means. However, if you stop and think about it, for instance, there have been situations where bribes have been used. For instance, I think back to the situation during some of the wars in which we have been in which prison guards have been bribed in order to have them look the other direction so that POWs can make an escape. Is that wrong? I think not. I don't think it's wrong, because it is, particularly for those who have an obligation to escape. Thirdly, you must have no access to lawful means to achieve your godly ends. In other words, it is so corrupt, there is no possibility of achieving godly ends. In other words, we are not saying that this is the normal course of life. When it gets to the point where you ought to offer a bribe, you are in bad straits. Let's put it that way. You're in extremity. You have no access to lawful means to achieve your godly ends. Fourthly, you must never seek to escape from justice, but only to accomplish it. A guilty Christian should never bribe anyone to be acquitted of something that he's guilty of. That's illegitimate. That's unlawful. Fifthly, you must also recognize the limitations of a bribe. In a sense, it never brings you the security of what justice could bring you if you were living in a culture where truth was valued and where justice was pursued. In Proverbs chapter 19, verses 6 and 7, we read, "Many will entreat the favor of a generous man, and every man is a friend to him who gives gifts." But it doesn't end there. The seventh verse also goes on. It says, "All the brothers of a poor man hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursues them with words, but they are gone." A bribe is only as reliable as the character of the one taking the bribe, and that isn't real secure. It isn't real secure, and it's only good as long as you have the means to continue bribing. Once you don't have the means anymore, you have no way. So it's very limited. The last thing that I want to point out to you is that the Scripture does also tell us that you're under no obligation to offer a bribe. This is one of those things where you may, but it's not always wise to do it. And for this, I would point out to you Acts chapter 24 and verse 26. This has to do with the Apostle Paul as he was imprisoned. And we read with verse 24 of chapter 24 of Acts, "But some days later Felix arrived with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewess, and sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. And as he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix became frightened and said, 'Go away for the present, and when I find time, I will summon you.' At the same time, too, he was hoping that money would be given him by Paul. Therefore, he also used to send for him quite often and converse with him. But after 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and wishing to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul in prison." In other words, he didn't get the bribe. Now, there may be many reasons for that. One of them certainly had to do with Paul's commission to speak to kings and to preach the gospel. And it may have been that Paul simply did not want to, but whatever we see from that portion is that you have no obligation to offer a bribe. Now, I realize that this is somewhat difficult, but what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to point out to you that whereas the Proverbs seem to indicate that the offering of a gift can be beneficial and does not forbid the offering of a gift, it does, as we see in that very same chapter, that the one who accepts a bribe is an abomination. But there is a possibility and a place that it may be that in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, we must become outlaws. Certainly the disciples became outlaws for the cause of Christ. Not outlaws to the moral law of God, but outlaws the arbitrary rule of men that was used to suppress the freedom and to suppress the truth. So I want to give that to you, not to turn you loose to rebellion, not to turn you loose to arbitrariness, because I think they're very close safeguards, but to recognize that the Scriptures recognize that we live in an unjust and an ungodly world. And there are, at times, when we are brought to extremes where it is necessary for us to disobey men in order that we might obey God. And in all, we must keep before us the rule. And that rule is justice, and only justice shall you pursue. Let's pray together. Father, we have talked about difficult things, and often we are stretched to the limits when we consider your word. We would not be lawless, we would not be anarchists, for you hate that, but we would be faithful. And we pray, therefore, that we might be wise in the understanding and application of Scripture. We pray that you would so grant blessing upon the preaching of your word that we would not arrive at that state in this land where bribery becomes a way of life, We detest it, Father. We pray, therefore, that you will bless the preaching of the word and our understanding of it, that we will not be governed by personal advantage, but that we might be governed by the principle of your word, and that we might expect others to be governed likewise, and so by the rule of Christ in our hearts, as we submit to him by faith, so, Lord, we might see reformation take place in our homes, in our churches, in our communities, in our nation, and in our world. That's our desire, Father. And we ask that you would grant it. Make us diligent in these things. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's conclude our worship this evening by turning in our hymnals to hymn 319. Lord, dismiss us with thy blessing. Fill our hearts with joy and peace. Let's stand together as we sing. 319.
Lord, dismiss us with thy blessing. Fill our hearts with joy and peace. Let us teach thy love possessing, triumph in redeeming grace. Oh, refresh us, oh, refresh us, traveling through this wilderness. Thanks we give and adoration for thy gospel's joyful sound. May the fruits of thy salvation in our hearts and lives abound. Ever faithful, ever faithful to the truth may we be found. So that when thy love shall call us, Savior, from the world away, let no fear of death appall us, glad thy summons to obey. May we ever reign with thee in endless day.
Receive now the benediction. And now may the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and abide with you forevermore. Amen.